Welcome to Talk the Dog, the show where we find a bone to pick and a take to give. These are not hot takes. These is dog takes.
Can I talk that dog?
Let's shut up and grasp the tape.
What is up, ladies and gentlemen? We are back for another hour here on the Film Guy Network. It is our loaded local hour. We got a great one for you. We're going to be talking some clarity on the Xavier McLeod situation. Good hips and ankles right there, son. We also have some other news to announce here on the show with regards to this Saturday's home game against Tennessee State. What if Wednesday making an appearance? We're going to set the props. Best week one moments that the boys remember. My football brain not allowing me to pull too many of these. Good stat, bad stat. I'm excited for this game tonight as well from you, Kirby. But first and foremost, I want to give some love to our friends over at SeatGeek. We love our friends over at SeatGeek with over 35 million downloads. SeatGeek is the number one rated ticketing app in the world. There are more than over 70,000 events listed on SeatGeek, including concerts, sports, festivals, and much, much more. College football is back, and Jonathan, here's what I want to do. They were giving them away last week, potentially to the homeless, for $9 at USC last week. $9 tickets to watch San Jose State in a sweat. Got a primetime football game. Fresno State in town. I wonder what these USC tickets are running for.
Let's find out.
Okay. Oh, my God. Look, this is an actual photo of USC Stadium on Saturday. Look at that, Jonathan. Look at that.
That's from last week.
This is from last week. That's a live photo.
You know, I'm shocked the seats aren't melting in that picture.
I know. So high. Hey, you can get this ticket right now for $22. And that's with inflation.
You know, if
that's with LA County inflation, hey, that's like $2 here in the Podunk South.
I would love to be able to fire up the SeatGeek app on about Friday at 6 p.m. and see what that ticket's down to, because I'd imagine it's probably a little bit cheaper.
You're probably right.
If I was a massive USC fan and my team was good, I would pay that much to go see them play on Saturday. Who cares about the opponent?
Attaboy. Yeah, but you don't have anything to do.
Oh, you're right. There's nothing to do in Georgia.
Nothing.
Nothing to do in Georgia.
You don't have a wife or kids?
No. Nope.
You don't got nothing?
No. Nope.
You got nothing to live for?
There's not a major city close to me.
You got nothing to live for except for your favorite football team.
Nothing to live
That's it.
The dog's got
You don't got
me,
no
man.
Hobbies. You ain't got no habits. You just got your Georgia Bulldogs. That's it.
That's right. You're right.
Nothing to live for. Shout out to our friends over at SeatGeek. We love our friends at SeatGeek. That's crazy how quickly they got fresh photos of live in-game attendance, though. It's insane. Where do you guys want to start? Let's start with the news.
Yeah.
The clarity on Xavier McLeod, or as I called him last night, McLeod. Kirby Smart was on the weekly SEC teleconference media availability and provided a quote today. Somebody's got that, right?
Yeah, we have that. I have the Xavier McLeod Twitter quote as well from the social media. So first one was basically Kirby Smart said, yeah, you know, he's practiced with us twice and just decided that he doesn't want to do it anymore. And we've known for a while. So it seems like it's not a shock to the Georgia Bulldogs athletic department. They've kind of understood this and have been planning for it much longer than we've been discussing it. And then obviously today, Xavier took to social media to thank the Georgia Bulldogs program. And the quote here is, this decision was deeply personal and definitely not easy. After consideration, thought, and seeking guidance from my faith, I have to prioritize my personal well-being. I want everyone to know that I am at peace with this decision, and I believe that is the best decision in my I believe this decision is in my best interest. I'm deeply grateful for Coach Smart and Coach Scott for welcoming me to the University of Georgia. They prepared me for football and life, and they continue to support me off the field, and I'll always be grateful for the opportunity I had as a Georgia Bulldog.
It confirms what we talked about last night when we reported that there's nothing new to this story. There's no story behind this story. It's the fact that a young man wanted to stop playing football. And this is something I'll never forget. My dad told me when I was very young about the game of football. I started playing when I was about 6 and played till I was 24. And my dad told me very early on, this is not something to do half-assed. Shouldn't half-ass anything in life. But this game, the way that we play this, you can't be out there half in, half out. You will get hurt. And not like, oh, my hamstring got tweaked. We're talking about like badly hurt is available for you if you are not 100% ready to go run through a brick wall, especially as a defensive player. If you have any type of hesitancy in you, it is over with. Mm-hmm. I think it's almost to me a lot like what UFC fighters talk about, where they're always nervous going in, but they just lose it. They don't have it anymore. That like killer instinct or that like willingness to be knocked out. Very, very same thing with football. You cannot do this haphazardly. You will end up in a hazard. Like, it'll be bad for you. Mm-hmm. So I think it's the right decision for him if he had any doubts, reservations, hesitancies about playing the game.
Yeah, he finishes the quote with, "I'm proud of how I represented Georgia, and I'm glad I got to finish with the Dogs, but sad to close this chapter. My teammates are like family, and although I'm no longer on the team, my heart will always remain with the Georgia Bulldogs. I'll continue supporting them from afar and will forever be grateful for our bond as a lifetime." So, obviously, no ill will, no sourness. I think this is just an example of, hey, I don't think I want to do this anymore, and I want to prioritize my health, so... Like we said yesterday, we wish him well, and it's unfortunate from a Georgia football standpoint, but this seems like it's the best decision for Xavier McLeod, the man. So I'm very happy for that.
All right, give us the other news. And I missed this on my timeline today. Georgia tweeted it out that they're striping out Samford. So this is September 26th against Oklahoma. They actually gave some advance.
They gave some advance. If people remember last time they did this against Ole Miss on like a 3 or 4 day notice, I think they announced it on a Monday of like, hey, the fans are doing it. There was some fan account that did this. I can't remember.
I think it was the Rose 60 podcast. It was. They were the ones that sparked up the conversation of we should do this.
They got motion.
They did.
Rose 60 inspired the idea. The fan base ran with it. And by like Wednesday, the team was officially tweeting it out.
Let's inspire an idea this year. That should be one of our local hour goals. Let's have motion like the what was it again?
The Rose
60 podcast.
Let's Do you have the willingness to create an entire website for it? Because that's what they did.
Yeah, they like went all out.
I mean, apparently AI can build entire apps within 35 minutes of the correct prompt. So, yeah, I'm sure they can get us a website going.
Okay, well, if you want that motion, then we got to go the whole entire distance with it.
All right, let's figure out what we can do. This is off show. Maybe chat will help us out, but I would imagine chat gives us some hysterical suggestions that aren't actually doable. But
I like the striped Samford though because it's unique to like Tennessee as the checker. You've seen the whiteouts, which we're gonna get a whiteout this year too. So, but I like the stripe. It's unique. My suggestion: make the black side the red side and the red side the black side. I think that those who were sitting on the black side last year for the Ole Miss game were rather hot.
Yeah, I don't think that they're changing it.
The red side is shaded. I would just make that. Maybe that's the motion we need.
But if it's a night game, it won't matter. Ole Miss was not a night game.
No, Ole Miss was a 3:30 kick. Oklahoma will be a night game, I presume.
Well, I think it's one of the flex games, but I think there's a high potential that one is indeed a night game, if I had to guess.
I'm sad I'm missing that one. So, but yeah, that's exciting. I think it's great that honestly, like, this was a criticism for a long time of like, there's not enough fan service on Saturdays. They don't do enough to prioritize the fans. And we've said, they've obviously been putting in efforts. They've added fireworks. They've added, you know, timeout hype stuff. They've added, you know, more videos. They've done, you know, more fan engagements, blackouts, wideouts. They're changing the jerseys this year. And the Stripe Samford, the team getting behind that, I think is a nice way to, it's another olive branch to make things that much more exciting on Saturdays, as opposed to, well, our team just wins. That should be enough, more than enough for you. Like, yeah, but a lot of fans are casual. So I like this. I'm very, very much for it and very excited for it. Sad I will not be in attendance for it.
You know what I'm excited for?
What are you excited for?
I mean, why aren't you?
He's got a wedding.
You got a wedding.
Yeah.
You should just tell your friend to F off.
No. It's their day. And I, you know,
you
like.
You should beat him with a bat when you get there.
They are Georgia graduates.
You should shun him.
They
for
are,
eternity.
What I think happened was,
just shoot him.
Good Lord, this is steering in a terrible direction.
I've had
he didn't respect your love for football. Hell, he don't even love football. He deserves to die.
Well, actually, it's a lady whose wedding I'm attending. So
you got lady friends, huh?
I mean,
she's getting married. That's unfortunate.
What are you?
I don't know what I'm doing here.
What are you trying to?
I don't know what I'm doing here.
Like I said,
I
this
no
is steering
idea.
In a terrible direction.
I have no
right
idea
now.
What I'm doing here. I do not condone violence.
I had a discussion
except for against people who have fall weddings, including myself.
I had a discussion with them of like, hey, you guys are Georgia graduates. What's up with this? Apparently, they got the dates mixed up. They thought they were doing it for a lesser than game. So unfortunate, but you know what? I'm happy to support them. Congratulations to them.
You know what I want?
What?
I want you to chastise the student section. That's what I want.
It's not even chastising.
No, speak down on them.
I'm not speaking down on him.
Why are you out for blood today?
Sit him down on the couch.
Why do you have beef with everybody right now?
Sit him down on the couch and have a good, stern, I'm your daddy conversation right quick.
What in the world? No.
What's going on?
That is not the discussion I'm going to be having. All I'm saying is this. Saturday at Sanford Stadium, there will be thousands upon thousands of people that will be experiencing their first ever Georgia football game as students. They're freshmen. They're 18 years old. They've come from all over. They've probably never experienced a Georgia football game. They don't exactly know what to expect. So I just want to provide some advice to them. And honestly, if you're just now getting indoctrinated to the Georgia football fan base, you probably don't know about this show yet. So I can't imagine this is going to find you anytime soon. Hopefully we can get this out in time for people to recognize it. But there's a couple of things that people need to be aware of. Me, J. Will, Brooks, anyone who's attended Georgia football games in the past, understand the heat. Understand those early September games are a drag. They're slow. It takes a while. If you've ever been a student, you have to get to the game hella early
before
you make sure you get a good spot in the student section. So there will be a lot of hazards for young people there. My recommendation is this. Friday night, make sure you're drinking water. Look, we were in college once. I get it, and I can't believe I'm already doing the I was young once too talk. I recommend hydrating Friday night, getting 8 hours of sleep, because it is a long day on Saturday. There are people do not understand.
8 hours.
Buddy.
Dude.
Take the ISO off for a second.
8 hours is more than
enough. If you are a freshman in college right now at the University of Georgia. And you are getting 8 hours of sleep. Now, I'm talking like stereotypical 8 hours of sleep. Like we're going to bed at 10 o'clock and we're waking up at an appropriate time on Saturday. You're doing it all wrong. This is the first football weekend student life. And you better do it right. Don't do this. 10 hours of sleep. Now, drink the water. Protect yourself.
You can go to bed at 3 a.m.
8 hours of sleep. Standard 8 hours.
I'm saying just get your eight. Whether you go to bed at 4 and you wake up at noon, it's a 3 o'clock kick. You got plenty of time. Get plenty of sleep. Your body needs rest because it's going to be in the heat for 5 hours. It is going to be out in the sun baking for 5 hours. You are going to be hungover. You are going to be drunk. You've never experienced this before.
Honestly, if you're 19 years old, you're already getting hangovers, you're at the wrong school. I'm just going to let you know that right now. That stuff shouldn't start happening until you're like, I don't know, 24.
That was like something your dad texts you on Thursday of like, dude, hey, be safe this weekend.
Sit down on the couch. I'm your daddy.
Yeah, no kidding.
I have seen plenty of people get carted away from the student section because they do not know how to pace themselves at a Georgia football game. If you are already stumbling by the time you're getting to your seats before kickoff's even, buddy, you're cooked. You're cooked. You're not making it to halftime. All I'm saying is if you are a young freshman or this is your first experience inside Sanford Stadium as a student, just try to make it the whole game. Because there's nothing worse than burning out quickly and being like, man, I can't believe so-and-so had us take care of them when we missed the second half because they were throwing up all over the student section. That's all my recommendations are. Just take care of yourselves, guys. Golly.
Look, I was with you with drinking the water, making sure that we don't have a heat stroke in the stadium or all that good stuff. But 8 hours of sleep?
That's not
on a Friday night at college?
Yeah, that's called I went to bed at 3 and I woke up at 11 and went,
oh, yeah, but that makes you sound like, hey, make sure that we're tucked in bed at 10 p.m.
No, I did not say go to bed at a reasonable hour. I said get 8 hours of sleep. Look, you can wake up at noon and be like, roll out of bed, ready for the Fox Sports.
But it's the first college football Saturday. You got to wake up early and get right back to it.
You got to wake up hammered.
You got to rally.
You got to wake up hammered.
All I'm saying is just be cautious because
you got to wake up stumbling out of bed.
No. Actually, don't drink the water. Just go straight back to
the
water might be the worst decision you make.
You are going to cause major harm to a 18-year-old person when in the Sanford Stadium when they do this. All I'm saying is just make sure you're taking care of yourself. It's a marathon on these Georgia games, especially in the early weeks. Just be safe, guys. That's all I'm saying.
That's not at all where I thought this was going, but okay.
That's my advice. I just want to give advice to the young Georgia fans.
They might as well have you do a video on the scoreboard on Saturday of like, ladies and gentlemen, please be safe.
Oh, no, listen.
Please be respectful.
Oh, don't worry. That'll be handled by the weatherman.
Yeah. No,
the weatherman will pop up on the screen. Make sure you drink your water out there. Gonna be a hot one.
If you need to.
Thanks,
if
dude.
If you need that message by game day, you're already done for.
You're already beat?
I'm saying, like, you got to get ahead of this. I've been in your shoes. I get it. So that was my message to the students. That's all I wanted. Just caring for the young people and those who are going to get indoctrinated into Sanford State.
Thanks, Papa Curb. Who's got the props? Who's setting props?
I think
tonight?
We both have props.
All right, set some props. Throw them at me. Let's do some deep analysis. Let's actually talk some ball.
Okay. Now. The first one I have, Nate Frazier, 65.5 rushing yards on Saturday.
Oh, you're setting the props and we're doing over-unders.
Yes.
I thought that's what the game was.
That's normally how this works.
I have the stat and we set the number. We set the over-under on it because it's niche. We'll do both.
People watching the show are like, do these guys really do show prep? Yeah, 2 hours of it.
Set the props has always been 2 hours. Say what you think the prop line should be, and then you say over or under.
Okay.
But all right, this will work, I suppose. It'll extend the content in the segment. So I have Nate Frazier, 65.5 rushing yards.
I'm going to take the over on 5 carries.
On 5 carries.
I'm taking the over on that.
Looked insane during fall camp.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't have that privilege, so I'll take your word for it.
I didn't either. Sources.
Mm. Well, I mean, you were at practice.
No, I wasn't.
No, the first practice, the media availability.
We didn't see much there.
Well,
No, I wasn't at practice.
Oh, well, that's what I was talking about. I don't know what you're talking about.
No.
And for those who are like, that seems really low for Nate, my reason is because I don't know how many carries he's really going to get on Saturday. Like, at this point in time, you don't need to see too many carries from Nate Frazier at this point in his career. So that's why I have it at 65.5.
I took the under, honestly. Here's one. I'll set the line right now. Nate Frazier and Chauncey Bowens combined carries over or under 15.5.
I could see it being like...
Yeah, I'll take over.
I could see it being like Nate gets 10, Chauncey gets 8,
yeah,
and then they're done. Like, yeah, that's kind of what I'm envisioning for this Saturday.
Okay. I could see
it. I envision them running the hell up out the football on Saturday.
Yeah, but I think they're going to do that more with the... like.
But you still got to get to a lead.
Right.
Yeah, but...
I mean, 18 carries... for the 9 apiece, that's basically 4 drives. They're going to play 4 drives.
Mm-hmm. My rationale for this is, hey, we just lost running back 3 this offseason.
Mm.
Running back 1 or 2, whoever you want to decide, hasn't played a fully healthy season. We don't need to be giving these guys a bunch of totes on a heat-filled Saturday in week 1.
If there's anybody that's in bubble wrap this weekend, I think it's actually going to be Elijah Griffin.
That's fair, too.
Like, if I set his over-under at 15 snaps, what would you say?
Yeah, that's probably about... I'd say under. I'd take the under on that,
right?
One, honestly. Also, because considering the circumstances, we're trying to figure out who is going to take the snaps that Xavier McLeod would have had. Like, we know Elijah Griffin's going to be on the field a lot this year, but figuring out the rotation over at the spot next to him, that's what you need to get answered this weekend, or try and get answered this weekend. So, see who sinks or swims there. London Humphreys... 47.5 receiving yards on Saturday, not 400.
I'm going to go under. I think London Humphreys gets 2 catches in this game for 30 yards. Maybe has 1 explosive and then gets a 6-yard hitch. I don't think they're going to give him much burn.
He could cash that over in 1 catch.
That's the thing with wide receivers, especially a guy like London. It could happen in one.
Yeah, but like.
Prop plays are so dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they are. But also, London has never, while he's been at Georgia, has not been a, man, that guy just went for 50 yards.
Not a high-volume shooter.
No. Mm-hmm. So I'm taking the under on London. How about this one?
Pop-Tart game.
Sorry, donut game.
Not quite. It's 3:30.
Donut game.
It's a donut.
Donut. My bad.
How about Chris Cole, 5.5 tackles?
Under. Won't play enough.
I was about to say, this is another bubble wrap.
Terrell Foster's going to have 16, but Chris Cole, under.
Yeah, I'll go under. I give him 3 or something like that.
And it's got to get to the second level for
that's true too.
You know, I don't expect Tennessee State to have all that much offensive success on Saturday.
No, they probably will not.
Yeah, that'd be bad. Chauncey Bowens, 60.5 rushing yards.
Under.
Okay.
Under.
Yeah.
Under.
I think you're going to get 50-50, 85 from Bo Walker.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 4 and 5, whoever they are, whatever the rotation.
So
is
if you set up
Jay Lamar and Nick Peel,
if you set a prop line for Bo Walker, what would you put it at?
70.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Bo gets a bunch of run this weekend.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. Do you have any more questions?
Yes, I do. I was answering someone on the Discord. Ryan Puglisi.
Wait a minute. You're in the Discord?
I answer every now and then if I get the alerts if people at me.
Oh, okay.
Ryan Puglisi pass attempts, 12.
That was what I was going to say.
Yeah, 12. That's
golly.
That's that'd tough. Be a do not touch for me, to be honest.
It's
that
a little D&T. Messing with, yeah.
11 and a half. Yeah.
I'll take the over 12. On that one.
Yeah, I think he has exactly 12 attempts on Saturday. Yeah,
I could see him getting into that 14, 13 range.
Has a backup ever had more than 12 attempts in a football game for Georgia?
I'm sure Carson Beck at some
probably
point
did that in 22, but that was also like, we're up by 40 and it's the second quarter.
What else are we going to do?
Carson, go throw some footballs, man. Have fun. That was also, I think that's the last time Georgia's had such an example of, you are the future. This is your team next year. We know that 1,000% for a fact. You are the future.
Oh, it was night and day. Like, everybody knew who the starting quarterback was going to be, despite the fact that some people were like, well, I don't know. We got this five-star quarterback, and Brock Vandegrift was really like, it was Carson Beck, guys. I mean, it was very obvious.
I mean, it was pretty obvious last year, too.
Yeah, it was.
Pretty obvious Gunner was going to be the guy, even though there was a couple people that were like, this is Pug's team.
No, yeah, we've had obvious, like, oh, this guy's team, but we've never had it's the backups team next year.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
So,
this one I had some trouble setting a line for, and I may have slightly overshot it, but Gunner Stockton, true rushing carries. I'm not talking about scrambles for a gain or anything like that. I'm talking about, like, Gunner Stockton design runs. I put it at 4.5.
Design runs?
Under.
Like actual true under. Carries.
Under.
I under. Got two.
He's going to scramble twice, but under.
That's why I said. I think I might have overshot it.
I would take the over for carries.
Yeah,
because
for the exact reason.
Are we counting read options?
No, I'm talking about like true running plays.
Under.
It's like not like
quarterback counter?
Yeah, something like that.
Significant.
Or read under. Option.
Significant. They might not like even that. Call one of them.
Automatic keep or automatic gives?
Yeah. Automatic gives until the red area. If the dude overcommits, you have the ability to pull the football.
Okay.
Completely under.
All right, this is just a layup one that we'll get to see. Georgia turnovers forced. I'm putting it at 0.5.
Over.
I'll go the over. Should get a turnover this weekend, I would hope.
All right, what if it's 1.5?
I'd still take the over. I'd take the under at that point.
I got an interception and fumble recovery.
I just think that Tennessee State's going to be taking the air out of the football, and it's just going to be ground and pound. So the opportunities for turnovers, I think, are going to diminish a little bit. My final one that I have, we talked about Bo Walker and his rushing yards. And again, I think, you know, I'm going to change this one. I initially had it at 12.5. I'm going to go 15.5 carries for Bo Walker Saturday.
I'll go over on that.
I'm going slightly under. It's a good line from you, Jonathan. I'm going 14 for 96.
Yeah. Again, that was a tricky one, too, because Bo Walker's going to get a lot of carries on Saturday, but how much time is he actually going to get in this football game to get somewhere? Because it's going to be 2 o'clock second half, maybe a running clock in the fourth quarter. Just the opportunities might be limited.
Over under 20.5 punt return yardages or yards in this football game.
20.5. Over.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, that's two returns.
I think we're going to get a lot of short kicks and a lot of fair catches.
Probably.
Yeah, that's what I say.
You think Tennessee State's got somebody that's going to outkick their coverage?
Probably not.
No.
Yeah, I think we see, go take your butt back there and fair catch that football.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what we see.
Yeah. All right, my final one. Gunner Stockton, over or under 130.5 passing yards?
Hopefully over.
I'm going to say under. I think it's like a
10 for 12, 120.
Like, yeah, like 115, 120, something like that.
Yeah. I mean, unless you have like two just bombs for 50 plus.
Yeah. If you're getting explosive plays, it'll go over.
Yeah. I think you get like maybe two 20 to 30 yard passes, and then the rest is we're just going to methodically dink and dunk for four drives. Like, I only think you're going to get like five or six drives out of Gunner Stockton max.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what his game logs were last year in these types of games.
He had like 119 passing yards.
He had 190 against Marshall. He had 227 against Austin Peay. And then he had 196 against Charlotte. Over. I'm going to say over there.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair.
But last year, those were he had to get reps.
That's true, too.
Mm-hmm.
He had to get reps.
But like by Charlotte. You didn't need that.
That's true.
And he still threw for 190. And that wasn't even one of his better games.
Is that before Georgia Tech?
Yeah.
Hmm. Mm.
So I'll go over on that one. I'll change my answer.
Those are all the lines I have.
You too?
Yep. Those are all the ones that I had as well.
All right, good stat, bad stat. I'm excited for this, Kirby. What do you got for me here?
Yeah, so I think this is a game we'll be able to play throughout the rest of the season for the local hour. It's basically I'm going to give a hypothetical stat, and you guys tell me if that's good or bad based on Saturday. So, for example of this, Gunnar Stockton has an interception on Georgia's side of the 50 on Saturday. Is that a good stat or a bad stat?
One more time, sorry, I was pantomiming to Jonathan over there.
Gunnar Stockton has an interception on Georgia's side of the 50 on Saturday. Is that a good stat or a bad stat?
It's never a good stat to throw throw an interception in plus territory. It's never a good stat to throw an interception, period. Is this like in midfield or is this in the red area?
Midfield. I don't think he's going to have... It's not a red area. I would have put red area. So somewhere between the 50 and the 30.
Oh, you said Georgia's side of the field, not Tennessee State's.
It's only a good thing if it was like... It was basically a punt. Like if it ends up like it's third down, threw up a deep shot to the other side of the field, it gets picked off. It's essentially a punt at that point. Then it's like, okay, whatever. DB made a heck of a play.
I think what you're getting at is like, do we want to see Gunner let it rip a
little
bit?
That's what I was going to ask. Is like, are we at a point where it's like, dude, just be yourself at this point. We don't need to see Gunnar Stockton drive the Lamborghini. Be Gunnar Stockton and just take care of the football.
Drive the Raptor.
Yeah, and I think that's honestly like kind of the sentiment I've landed on. Like we for so long everyone was like, Carson, man, just let it rip, dude. Let it fly. Be dangerous. Be risky with the football. You got the arm talent to do so. And then he threw 12 picks in 2024. He was like, no, stop. Slow down. Stop driving a Lamborghini. So honestly, I think if Gunnar Stockton's throwing picks this year, something's going wrong. I don't want to see Gunnar Stockton forcing balls.
Do not forget to remind me I have breaking news after this segment.
Oh,
okay.
Nate Frazier and Chauncey Bowens each rush for less than 50 yards.
It's a great stat. They were up out of the football game early.
Yeah, I'll say good. Outside of injury, which I'm sure is out of play in this scenario, that is a great thing.
Yeah, no, this, by the way, nothing, no injuries.
That would mean you got up early and also probably means that your passing offense was very explosive, that you didn't have too many opportunities to get them reps.
Okay, I like that. Georgia has 3 sacks or less on Saturday, the defense. That
3
is.
Sacks is a good day, in my opinion.
I just don't know. Most of these teams that come into Athens, they're just like these mid-major teams. Mm-hmm. They know they're about to get their doors blown off, and they're like, just run the ball, get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And half of them don't even do conventional passing attacks.
Yeah.
Like there was one game I studied one year where I literally did not see a 3-step drop the entire football. And people were like, we can't get pass rush against Kent State. It's like, buddy, they're getting rid of the football in under a second. Mm-hmm. Like the whole game screens and handoffs. Like, what do you want?
Yeah, that's why I think if you got 3 sacks as a team on Saturday, that's a great day from your defense.
Yeah, I would say good day.
I think what I'm discovering about this segment that we're doing is like the narratives that are going to be painted or changed based on what the stats are. Because you're right. Like less than 3 sacks on the stat sheet is not great, especially a team of the caliber of Tennessee State.
I mean, was it last year that was down like 35 points in the second quarter, running the ball 3 times and punting?
Oh, you're thinking of Tennessee Tech in 23.
That was 2 years ago.
I mean, it was gross.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand what they're doing.
Oh, 100%.
And I could see that happening this weekend. No disrespect. But I'm mentally preparing for this to be one of the worst-looking football teams you've seen Georgia play.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a mismatch. But go ahead.
Ryan Puglisi completes 9 of his 12 passes on Saturday, but has an interception.
How bad is the interception?
Is it like a Kentucky one?
I can only
Is it like a Kentucky one?
I can only give you guys.
Is it like a G-Day interception? If it's an interception period, everybody's going to freak out.
Here's what I'll say. If you're the backup and you're going against your, like, you got no business throwing picks, man. Like, we're year 3 in the system. Like, we should be able to make it 12 passes against G5 opponents before throwing picks. I'm saying
it's not even G5.
Yeah, against non-Power 4, against FCS teams.
Outside of it being a tip pass, shouldn't have an interception on Saturday. So because there's an interception thrown into that, I'm going to say that's bad.
And I think that's kind of what what's worrisome about the, I don't want to say the Puglisi experience, just the backup quarterback experience in general with all those guys is like 9 out of 12 is 75%. That's really, really good.
Oh, it's a great day.
The problem is the 25% is so catastrophic. That's like, can we trust this guy? Can we put him on the field? And I think that's probably what is kind of the hindrance or the worry right now for the backup position. Georgia has 5 explosive plays on Saturday, and I would say an explosive is a play of 10 yards or more. Just 5 exactly.
of 10 yards or more, that makes me want to lean more to the bad side. Like, if it was 20 yards or more, we got five of those, that's a great day. But 10 yards or more should be pretty doable on Saturday.
What if we do 15 yards or more? Is that a good
stat? Okay, that puts it more in the, like, that's a good thing. I'll take that one.
That's Indiana offense.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I like it. KJ Bolden has 5 tackles on Saturday.
It's a good stat if he plays 2 quarters.
Mm, yeah.
But then again, it's a bad stat because safety shouldn't be making tackles.
That should be it. And that's why I'm,
unless it's just KJ Bolden is nosediving into the tackle box.
Yeah, unless all of those are at the line of scrimmage or TFLs.
Yeah, like they're just working the screen game and KJ Bolden is sniffing them out. It's a bad stat.
Kind of wanted to play it on this air too. It was like, what if we just see, like, it's KJ Bolden unlocked and my God, he's flying around. Did you see all the plays he was making? He had 5 tackles and he had no business being in any of them. Like, that could be the avenue you go down, or it could be, oh, great, our safety had 5 tackles today against Tennessee State.
All 5 better be murders. That's what I'll say. All 5 of them better be a kid took a slant and just got driven into an oblivion by KJ. Like,
with his shoulder, not his crown.
Yeah. No targeting. We're a sound tackler. We do technique around here. So clean football. But, yeah, it better be just catching bodies every time.
Georgia does not force a turnover on Saturday. Good stat or bad stat?
I'll just put it at a wash. Like, not knowing, like, what the actual outcome of the game was, like, not knowing how Tennessee State was playing offense or anything like that, I'll just throw it up as a wash. Like, it wouldn't concern me. It wouldn't excite me either. Like, it's just, it is what it is at that point.
Yeah, I think it'd be more like an annoying stat of, like, man, I really wish they did that, but yeah, also, like,
the only thing we didn't do good today was we didn't force a turnover. One of those situations.
Yeah, and I think that those are one of those things, like, when you have a team like this, they're going to turtle shell. I'd be honest. I'd say it's a great staff. Georgia forces a turnover on Saturday. So, all right. Final one I have.
I got one too.
Okay. Gunnar Stockton has 2 rushing touchdowns, but only 1 passing touchdown on Saturday.
Great day.
Yeah.
Great day.
Good stat.
I'll take it all day long.
Good stat.
Okay. So we're not, we need to see more passing touchdowns.
As long as those 2 rushing touchdowns are just untouched. Like, we didn't get, I mean, nobody was near us.
I got a bad stat for friends of the show that are always betting the dogs no matter what the line is.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the line over there with our friends at Hard Rod Bet is 46.5. You ready for the bad stat?
Yep.
This is an actual stat.
Like 0-20.
0-14 under Kirby Smart when favored by north of 38.5 points. Do not lay that wood.
No.
Don't you dare. That being said, I think they win like 52-0.
No, don't. I mean, that is one of, like, in the gambling Twitter has caught on to that stat. So this would be the game where it finally breaks. So.
Just take a 42-7 win. That looks nice and good in the stat sheet on the schedule.
It actually transitions perfectly into.
Well, I was going to say, we have breaking news.
Yeah, I think
Brooks.
It transitions greatly into breaking news. I got a top 10.
What's your top 10?
Top 10 things I'm watching this weekend, UGA specific edition.
I like it.
Only UGA. You want it 1 to 10 or 10 to 1, Jonathan?
1 to 10.
All right, I'll give it to you 1 to 10. Number 1. Just kidding. 10 to 1. You're doing reverse psychology against me, aren't you?
Maybe.
God, I'm bamboozled right about now. Number 10, simple. Gunner's development. Don't know how much we're going to get of it. Don't know how much we're going to see from him. Don't know how much the offense is going to look other than like day one install. That's what I'd be running. We'd be spamming 4 verts if I were Mike Bobo.
Didn't they do that last year?
Yeah. Last year, I was like, play calling's real vanilla. It's like, no shit.
I remember that.
Who cares? They can run halfback ISO in 4 verts. They're going to get out of this one a lot. So Gunner's development, I don't know how much we're going to actually see them.
Mm-hmm.
Number 9, tight end usage / dudes. I want to see the dudes. I want to see all of them. They got lots of dudes in that tight end room. How do we use them? What's the rotation? All that good stuff. Number 8, it's a 3-namer. Jordan Hall, Nasir Johnson, Nnamdi Ogboko, 4-namer. J.J. Hane.
Absolutely.
All of them. I want to see them all. I want to see them all play well, especially Nnamdi and Nasir. I highly doubt Jordan Hall is getting 60 snaps in this football game, but considering the history. But Nnamdi and Nasir, I want to see tongues dragging by the end of this one.
Have we gotten an injury update from Kirby on Jordan Hall?
He's good.
Okay, he's good. He's been completely good. Okay.
Been full speed all fall camp.
All right.
He's looked great.
Ooh, that's
good.
From an energy
standpoint, from an effort standpoint, from a snap count standpoint, sources raving about his readiness to play ball.
That's great.
Yeah. I hope he looks anything like he looked right before the injury last
year. Oh, man, he was playing such good football.
He's playing really good ball. Number seven, if they get a chance, the pass rush. I don't think they're going to get a chance.
Probably won't.
But if you get home this weekend, you're a dog.
Yeah.
If you get home this weekend, you beating folks clean up off the line of scrimmage. And honestly, that's what they've lacked.
Yeah.
They've lacked that the last couple of years. So let's see if we can get some of that. Yeah, number. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Chris Cole did it last year. I think it was against Austin Peay. It was either against Austin Peay or Marshall.
Guys, Drew Bobo's fine. Drew Bobo had something going on with his thumb. He was, I don't even think he missed practice. I think he had surgery and went back to practice that day. The dude is a lunatic.
Drew finna play?
His pain tolerance is through the effing roof.
Yeah.
Absolutely one of the craziest human beings from a toughness standpoint that Georgia's had since David Andrews. This guy is a lunatic. So, yeah, we texted sources during the day that apparently that story broke, where it's like, Georgia might be down a starting lineman. He was at practice that day. This guy's a lunatic. Mm-hmm. He's fine. So there you go. Number six, wide receiver room rotation.
Mm.
What we got going on?
What are we looking like there?
Who's rolling out there? Who's playing? Who's getting touches? Who's getting design shots? What's it look like? Who's getting the screen touches?
It's an important question, too, because there's so many, like, you could list out a bunch of names of who is going to play. Like, you could go Isaiah Kanyon, CJ Wiley's going to play.
Don't forget Trey Shields.
Trey Shields. You almost did it to me. Sakobi Wyatt-Helton and Landon Roldan are going to play. You could go with, like, a guy like Tyler Williams. You could go with Thomas Blackshear. You could go with Craig Dandridge. You could go with London Humphreys. Like, there's a bunch of names of guys that we expect to play. But when it comes to the conference schedule, that's going to get diminished. Like, there's going to be a lot of reps taken away from guys that were playing in these games. I mean, that rotation isn't as deep once it comes to conference play. They really dwindle that thing down.
Yeah, it never is.
Number five, safety rotation.
Yep.
And I think it's going to be one of those football games where they all look so good that we don't get an answer. But we'll at least get an answer from who rolls out there with KJ with the starters. And I think it's going to be Kyron Jones.
Mm. Yeah, it'll definitely be Kyron Jones.
Number four, Khalil Barnes. Just Khalil Barnes. I just want to watch him.
I want to watch who comes up and what they do after.
By the way, $5 fine. $5 fine. You did it.
Good luck.
Craig Dangerous.
Okay.
Just tell him to take it out of the interrupting fines.
We've lost count on those, I'm sure.
But no, Khalil Barnes is certainly someone I want to watch. I do want to watch what the player after Khalil Barnes does, because that was kind of a position. Like, who do they move there after Khalil Barnes comes off the field? That's kind of something I'm interested in. I wouldn't imagine you put Rayshon Dinkins back at the.
I was going to say either Dink or Boogie.
You think they'll put Dink? Like, Dink might be a starter for them already. Like, are you going to.
Kyron's starting.
Right, but I'm saying, like, Dink might be someone that you give starter reps to.
I think he's the only one that's cross-trained enough. It might be Zach Fort. An often forgotten name.
Ooh. Yeah, well, you know, we don't talk about him enough.
We don't talk about
Dude's
Zach Fort.
Dude's a stick.
Mm-hmm. Bro was laying the wood on the spring game.
I can't help myself.
Come on, Jay, we'll get together, man.
Does Elijah Griffin wreck shit for 12 snaps?
Is it to the point where the Tennessee State coach is like, he can't play anymore?
Come on. Yeah.
Like,
come on, Kirby.
I didn't see a birth certificate, you know, that kind of thing.
Like, we've seen enough, Kirby. All right,
can you get rid of him?
Yeah.
Please. I hope it's like that.
Oh, yeah.
It needs to be like that. Mm-hmm. I want to see him just blow stuff up for, again, 12 snaps and then put him in bubble wrap. Put him on ice. Let's just get him out of the game. He better be a problem on Saturday. Number two, this run game / O-line rotations. I think they have, in my opinion, right now, what I know about this roster, here are the guys that I think play winnable football, and that's the bar at Georgia. Can you play winnable football for us? Mm-hmm. If you can, we'll let you play. The starting five, Ernest, Donnie, Drew Bobo, Zakai Helton, and Juan Gaston. Ja Jackson, winnable. Ekene Agboko seems to be at that rate. Cortez Smith, and perhaps Malachi Tolliver. I think they've already got nine. That's way deeper already than 99% of college football teams.
Yeah.
Hell, Indiana's got 13 total on their roster. So the nine guys that I know can already play winnable football, do we find a 10th, maybe an 11th?
Do you think that they try and find, though, like a true guard that can be in that list?
I think you're going to see Cortez and maybe Malachi play a little guard.
Okay.
At what point do you get to a point where, like, we've got too many playable players?
I mean, but, for me, it's I don't like rotations at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the five playing the five.
But I mean, like, if we've got like 10 guys where it's like, man, all of these guys need to get reps, at what point are you doing a disservice to the continuity of your offensive line?
Why is G Biff saying Zakai with like big question mark? He's going to start on Saturday. I don't know what the shock is there. He's been a starter basically since he got on campus.
Yeah, he's been a dude.
Yeah, he's been a dude since day one. He started the spring game.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. He's going to start on Saturday. Number one, any guesses?
Is it Gunnar Stockton related?
No, he was number 10.
Ryan Puglisi.
There you go. Number one. It's the number one thing I'm watching Saturday.
It's quarterback.
Ryan right Puglisi. Almost like adjacent, but it would have given it away. It is Ryan Puglisi, the number one thing I'm watching on Saturday. There we go.
That's a great top 10. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Sir.
Are you going to be locked in on this game?
Why wouldn't I be?
Are you going to be while you're out there in Baton Rouge? You going to be locked in?
I'm going to be sitting in the press box with it on my phone.
Okay. Oh, you going to be in the press box that early? Or no, I keep forgetting it's at 3.
Yeah.
Keep forgetting it's at 3.
It's at 3:30, which will be 2:30 local time for me. Mm. So I'll be in the mix of getting into the stadium and doing the let's go to work tweet.
Are you on the field?
I don't know.
Oh, you still don't know.
I have no earthly. Yeah, he got you, buddy. I just watched that.
What
he
the
flew
heck?
Right into your eye. He's been a bugger in this studio for the last 2 days.
We need to get him.
No, I don't know where I'm at Saturday. Okay. I'm just glad to be there.
Oh, for sure.
One of those situations. But no, am I going to be locked into the Dogs?
I was just making sure.
Who are you talking to?
Making sure your priorities were straight.
I guarantee you I'm the only network in the country that's breaking that one down both sides of the football this week. I can guarantee that. So we'll be getting that on. I got somebody coming in. He's going to be working the sticks for the first time on Sunday afternoon. I don't know what I'm going to be like. I'll be a walking zombie at that point. But, yeah, I don't know when I'm going to watch that, but I'll be doing that. We'll release that Sunday night, and that'll be our first breakdown that we have
there
of the season.
There you go. Hell yeah.
And then we'll rattle them all out when you come in Monday morning, and we'll send you to Kirby's press conference.
All right.
So that's how that'll work. It does feel good to not have to – and, you know, this is like – this is going to sound really arrogant, so the people that think I'm a D-bag are really going to hate this one. It does feel good to be a film authority to this point now where I don't feel like we have to be first to the timeline on those. I feel like no matter when I release film studies nowadays, people are going to watch them.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I have to race to get it.
Yeah.
And that should be good for my sanity.
Mm, no doubt.
So, yeah, that'll be nice. What's up?
I think that was the conclusion of your list, right?
Best week one memories?
Let's do What If Wednesday first.
Okay. What if Puglisi lights it up?
It's great news.
That's fantastic.
It's fantastic.
I think that kind of puts to rest who is quarterback two. I know that everyone's kind of wondering it. If he doesn't.
I was going to extend it further.
Go ahead.
He might be the future.
Yeah.
That's what we're playing for.
Right.
Like playing for on Saturdays. Mm. We're practicing to already be the two.
What?
We're playing to be the future. That's what we're playing for. And I think he knows that.
What do we have to see for it to be like, that guy's the future? Because I'll be honest. 9 for 12 for 100 yards in a touchdown. Like, I don't know if that's enough to make you go, yeah, that guy's it. Like,
no happy feet, deer in the headlights.
Yeah.
That's all I need to see.
Because I remember 2022, when Stetson Bennett would come off the field, it was like, man, Carson Beck's going to be really, really good in 2023. And I don't know if you've had that moment from Ryan Puglisi yet of, man, he looks like the future. So what is it going to be? And I don't know if that's necessarily a stat sheet.
It would have to be stack the performances this week and next week. Mm-hmm. If we look like a dude or like a guy that is the future of this program in back-to-back weeks, we're playing consistent, we're not turning the ball over, we look comfortable in the offense. Like if we stack those two performances with one another, that's a great direction to be in.
I like it.
What if Craig Dangerous and Thomas Blackshear look like the best receivers on Saturday?
It's a $2.5 fine.
Is that a problem or is that good?
That's why it's on the list, Kirby. You have to decide that.
If they look like the best receivers on Saturday, I'm going to say that's good because...
Who were the two? I heard Dangerous.
Dangerous and Blackshear.
I know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it's good because that just shows you promise for those guys. I don't think that 1 week is going to be like, Isaiah Cannon was a bust, or CJ Wiley's not what we thought.
I'll tell
he
you
was.
What it will be. First off, if Craig Dangerous looks like one of the best receivers on Saturday, that's a great thing. That guy's going to play for you this year. He's going to be a meaningful wide receiver in the rotation. That's great news. Not to say that Blackshear won't, Blackshear will be the guy, though, that everybody will talk about for the next 2 weeks and think that he's the next guy in this wide receiver. And he might be one of the next guys in this wide receiver room. But
he
might
looks be, just like him.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That those types of things. And it may not end up panning out the way you think it will this year, but Blackshear is certainly tracking to be a meaningful player for this football team.
What if the first play of the game is just a 75-yard bomb? Like, they go 2021 UAB where it's like, we're giving Gunnar Stockton a touchdown on the first play. Can you convert it?
Mm. Would love it.
How electric is that stadium?
Bubble haters in shambles.
Man. A screen pass to Sikovi, first play, 75 yards to the door. 75-yard
screen pass would be so fun.
Man. It would just put a big grin on my face. I would love it so much.
And the Bobo haters in that will be like, well, yeah, of course it worked. It's Tennessee State.
It's Tennessee State.
You're not gonna do. You shouldn't do that against Alabama. That's not gonna work when you start playing.
Guess SEC Gunner football. Can still only throw screen passes.
The Chadwick guy is gonna break out route tree stats.
Yep. Just love putting it. A detriment to Sikovi's NFL career right now. Using him the wrong way.
Putting it in a box.
What if all the safeties have a great day?
Dude, same note.
And by great day, let's say like they all cover well.
Wait a minute. We all three had this one? What if all the safeties play great?
Yeah, yeah, I have
all,
that one
we
as
all
well.
Had it, I guess.
Yeah, I kind of want to.
Spider-Man meme three-way.
And I asked that.
We need camera one for this.
Ah, we do.
We need camera one.
RIP.
I asked that because at what point does having all of these guys be ballers? There we go. At what point does that become a problem? Because if it is, my God, Rayshon Dinkins is so good. Jamali Riddle is so good. Like, if you feel like you can't take those guys off the field, I feel like that presents you way more issues. Like, there's a reason why you get to midseason and the running back rotation has been dwindled down and the wide receiver rotation has been dwindled down because you know who the players are. Like, if you get three or four games in and everyone's still playing at such a high level, like, what do you do at that point?
Well, you continue to figure it out. I mean, you got the first 2 weeks, and then you get Arkansas, and then you really got to have answers at that point.
Do you?
I mean, to an extent, yes.
Does that change your schemes at all if you're just that good in the safety room? Like, are we just living in 4-2 at that point?
Somebody asked me about this in Discord the other night. It's like, what do you think they can do a little bit differently to defense or to offenses? And having a safety core, specifically with Kyron and KJ, who've played a lot of football. Jamari's played a lot of college football as well. Zion's played a lot of college football.
Yeah. And Khalil.
They can disguise a lot of looks.
Yeah.
And that, to me, creates more problems at the quarterback position than anything else.
That's a good point.
Especially with how much zone they play nowadays. Like, there's a little cover seven mixed in there. There's some Meg with some of these corners every once in a while. But a lot of it's catching and zone matching. So, like, if they don't know what zone we are in until halfway through their drop, it's going to create a lot of turnovers. So that could be a major thing there. What if you don't get an answer about the wide receiver room because you just run the piss about
the line? Dude, I had this one too.
Yeah, we need to start talking about avoiding some of these.
I mean, word for word, that's what I had on my list. Yeah. That was the next one
you
I had.
You had run the piss out the rock?
Yeah, what if we don't get a true look at the passing game Saturday because the offensive line and running backs are so good?
I think that's kind of an issue, honestly. I think there has to be at some point where it's like, okay, we kind of know. Like, this is going to be a weird analogy, but I think it'll work. Do you remember like playing a video game or like a fighting game or even like a college football game and you've got just one play and one set or one move that just works so well, and until you that doesn't really work, you have to rely on everything else, and then you haven't been practicing? Like, I don't want Georgia to get to a point where it's like, yeah, we can just run against everyone until you have to actually throw the football and you don't really know what you have. I would like to see an example of like, hey, here's some things we're going to draw up specifically for the wide receiver room to figure out what we have here. So I would say it's honestly an issue if you don't get an answer on Saturday because we just ran the ball so well. Because you're not going to be able to just run the ball so well to a national championship. Like, that those days are over in college football. You'll be able to run the ball efficiently.
I don't know, Michigan did it.
Yeah, but even then, they had Roman Wilson. They had
the answers.
They had answers. Like,
that's true.
J.J. McCarthy found the answers in that playoff run. It's like,
those weren't the answers I was referring to.
Yeah.
Well, that is fair. But no, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't want to become so reliant and so dependent on the run game this early in the season.
Fair enough. You stole my last one.
You stole my last one.
Well, you gave it, so I didn't steal it.
I've got four left. Well, I've got three left because the safety one's.
Come on with it.
What if Dwight Phillips is far and away the best running back on the field on Saturday?
Hit a great start to the season last year.
I mean, we said that about
Marshall.
Marshall,
yeah, he had a great start.
The first two games of the season, Dwight Phillips was the best running back on the field.
It's not a bad thing. I mean, I think that Georgia fans would love to see that. I mean, Georgia fans are always itching to see some Dwight Phillips Jr. on the field, or Peanut, as we call him around here. Everybody calls him. So I don't think it necessarily would be a bad thing, because it's not going to be like, oh, well, he's better than Nate Frazier and Chauncey Bowens. I think it would just be like, oh, another great running back into the mix. Wish we would have had Dante Dowdell in the mix, but we have Dwight, and we also have the other two great running backs, so I think we'll be in good shape. We got Bo Walker. Like, we'll be all right. We got depth.
So it doesn't change. You don't think it'll change anything? Like, man, we need to see the rotation at all?
No, I don't think it would change anything with the rotation. I think no matter what happens behind Chauncey and Nate on Saturday, those are your two guys.
And we've kind of already hit on this one, but what if we walk away and Georgia doesn't even have a pressure? Like the pass rush was non-existent. And I understand this is not the game for there to be opportunities of that, but what if we walk away and be like, man, no one was getting anything?
I know at least one media personality is going to have a conniption on the timeline. Mm-hmm. Friend of the show.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be freaking out. But when we watch the actual tape, I would imagine it's, wow, they sure got rid of the football.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of more like, what if we watch the tape and it's like, no one's winning? Like, we're getting stalemated everywhere.
Oh, well, then fire the alarms. You know?
Okay.
Oh.
Oh, you know.
That's what that is.
I'm glad that that's what it was, because for a while I thought there was a bird outside.
No, it's your chair and your dad kneeing.
Yeah, it is me. Okay. That's a much more comforting answer.
You know what I thought it was? Hmm. I thought you were nose whistling on me.
Oh, that'd be a crazy
nose
whistle.
That would have been a really bad nose whistle.
Here's chat has no
they have no what idea we're what we're talking about. My chair is squeaking.
Was squeaking on us. We were like, I was trying to figure it out the last 10 minutes.
All right. Final one I have. What if Georgia covers on Saturday? Never done it before.
Dogs on top. Natty champs.
I mean, that would be...
Defying all odds.
Bobo's a genius.
And I want to more take this from a betting standpoint. I don't know if you guys have been inundated with this. Everyone I know who has a betting account has laid the points on Tennessee State.
Well,
the points.
I have a personal rule when it comes to this that I just don't. I don't
on Georgia.
I don't.
I don't do it on Georgia either.
I just don't do it.
You don't fade your fandom.
I don't fade it, and I don't also.
I know a lot of football fans that do that. They bet against their own team. That way, if they lose, they feel like they still won.
Yeah, I know a lot of people that do that, like in the big time matchups. Like, you know what? No matter what, I'm going to be somewhat okay. And I just don't do it regardless.
I don't
do it for my team. I don't do it against my team. I just leave it alone. Superstitious a little bit, but that's just me.
I don't want to do anything that takes away from my joy or adds to my misery.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, no, I don't.
Bilbo Schwaggins says Georgia over under 20 bubble screens Saturday.
When's the last time 20? Georgia ran a bubble screen?
Well, I think he's talking about swing screens.
They don't run a ton of those either. Like, it's mostly jail screens that you're getting.
20 would be like 30% of your plays on Saturday, probably.
Yeah, no.
It'd be a crazy amount.
It's going. I would put $1 trillion on the under there. I'd put all the money I have on the under. I think that's all I have for What If Wednesday.
Make sure you hit that thumbs up button. All right, what are some week one core memories you guys got? Ooh,
I want to start.
I know, I have one.
Okay, what is yours?
Realizing that Andrew Thomas was a god.
Oh, okay. All right, that's a solid one. That's a good personal one.
And, I don't know if I can do that. Yeah, no, I can't do that.
Okay. The first one I have is DJ Shockley, 2005, shreds Boise State for five touchdowns.
I was not conscious for that one.
I wasn't either, but I was I was conscious.
Were
but
you
I just
hammered.
I was three.
I was conscious, but I really wasn't locked into college football.
Yeah,
just
I did not fully understand.
I dug through it and football. I found that one, so I wanted to make sure that DJ Shockley got his flowers in the second.
Five total touchdowns.
Five passing touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, lit it up. I think that's been a record for a long time. I can't remember the last time quarterback's done that at Georgia. This is the first week one memory that I have, and it kind of coincides with this week because it's going to be hot as hell. 2012 week one against Buffalo. Todd Gurley, a little known freshman, returns a kick for a touchdown, also had a touchdown later in that game.
Is that the Buffalo squad that had Khalil Mack on it?
It was the Buffalo squad that had Khalil Mack. That game was so hot, my mom and sister had to watch the rest of the second half in the Tate Student Center. While me and dad
didn't get their 8 hours of sleep and drink water, apparently.
Well, no, I think it was my sister was... Attaboy. I think it was my sister was 7 years old. So... A core week one memory for me. One of the first I got to meet Vince Dooley that week. Did the whole nine yards. We went and took photos at the Arch. One of the first times I remember being like, man, I really like Jordan. I really want to go here. So core memory for me, exactly.
Got to throw a shout out for the Georgia beating North Carolina in 2016. Yes. Nick Chubb's return to the squad. Kirby Smart's induction as the head coach of the University of Georgia. Got to see some Jacob Eason in that football game. Mm-hmm. Just a nice way to start off of what was going to be an incredible run for Kirby Smart.
A lot of stuff happened that game that's monumental. The Nick Chubb return, the Jacob Eason, the Jacob Eason era is here. Kirby Smart's first win. Lots of stuff. So great call. How about 2014, Todd Gurley going off against the Clemson Tigers alongside a little-known freshman named Nick Chubb losing his shoe and scoring his first touchdown. I think my favorite part about that play is he loses his shoe, scores the touchdown because he doesn't have a shoe. As he's running in the end zone, he slips and falls.
Yes.
And then the team dog.
As he's running close to the hedges, he just kind of collapses.
Yes. Elite. One of my favorite memories. Obviously, the kick return from Todd Gurley was fantastic, too. Getting revenge against a Clemson team that beat you the year before. Elite.
Yeah, I have 2021 Clemson. That was an absolutely electric way to
start. I have that one as well.
Yeah, I mean, in the moment, it was boy, this offense stinks. We only scored 10 points, but man, this defense is really good. So don't really know what to think about this team. It's exactly what you should have thought about that team, but the offense was better than what you thought.
Oh, I do have one. The absolute drumming of Georgia or Oregon in week one.
Yeah.
Chat's mentioning that. Had a tremendous hug with Jordan Davis post game on that one.
Nice.
That dude gives world class hugs. It's like a big, massive bear.
That was freshly drafted Eagles rookie Jordan Davis.
Yeah, had not even played an NFL snap.
And guess whose jersey he was wearing?
Was it Stetson's?
No.
Was it Jalen Carter?
No. You'll never guess it. It's Michael Morris.
Oh.
Michael Morris's jersey on.
Nice.
Yeah. Love that guy.
What a wholesome moment.
The 21 Clemson memory for me is great because it was the first Georgia game I watched as a student in Athens. And man, what a fantastic night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always remember the Chris Fowler call of Christmas pick six in that game.
I didn't hear it. We were screaming so loud that you didn't hear it.
Well, I've heard it so many times,
too. Since then.
Throughout social media that it's burned into my memory.
After DJ Lagway falls, he cannot.
DJ Uyunglele, you mean?
DJ Uyunglele.
Not my DJ Lagway?
My brain shorted out at DJ. This one is not a fantastic memory, but looking back, it was kind of the start of something. Stetson Bennett saving the day against Arkansas in 2020.
Yeah.
A very unique week one memory. I was in Seaside, Florida watching this game. It was obviously COVID. You were just relieved to be watching football. Things come out with Dwan Mathis. It's not great. Georgia's trailing 7-2 before they pull the trigger on putting Stetson in. It was kind of like, man, what a great story. The walk-on comes in and saves the day. Sure, he'll probably never amount to anything on this team, but what a fun story. Little did you know. So that was always a good one.
I don't have any more on my list, actually.
I have three more. Jake Fromm coming in for an injured Jacob Eason.
I almost put this one, but it was kind of also a somber moment at the time.
And it was, but I think, and obviously, I was in the stadium for this game. This was the one game I watched in 2017 in person. Being in that stadium was like, oh my God, Jacob Eason's hurt.
You felt like your season just got derailed in the first game of the year.
And then Jake Fromm comes out and starts balling, and it's like, we don't need Jacob Eason. I vividly remember people in the stands being like, hell, this guy's playing better than Eason. And Jacob Eason had seven attempts that game. So that was good. Also kind of an ushering in of a new era of Georgia football. Jake Fromm, who I would say up until Stetson Bennett was the Kirby Smart quarterback. And for a large part is he's the longest tenured Kirby Smart quarterback, so definitely deserves that. Beating the hell out of Clemson in 2024 was a core memory of man, this team's really, really special. This defense is going to be really good. That was kind of a fun memory. Nothing too crazy there. And then the final one. This one always sticks out to me because it was the moment I knew for a fact, 1,000%, I was sold on Gunnar Stockton. Him scoring that rushing touchdown, turning around and pointing to London Humphreys in the end zone. Forever.
That's very niche.
Burned into my brain of just like, a man, I like this guy. Mm. So those are my week one memories.
Those are solid ones. Can't wait to make some more this weekend.
That's right. We'll add to the list.
Did you get your parking ticket?
I did. Is it the same place we've been parking?
I believe so.
Okay.
Don't quote me.
I just don't want to look too foolish.
Well,
I'll figure it out. Yeah, though.
Just get there early enough.
I plan on it.
Okay.
Not changing things up.
Make sure you grab the guys this weekend, take a photo with them, do all that good stuff. Hound them.
I'll be standing in the heat.
Make them feel like celebrities.
I'll be standing in the heat for however long I get to on the field before I have to go up. Because I don't have to write. I don't have any duties up at the press box. I can just wander around.
Me and Shock can be hanging out. Yeah. Talking about our glory days.
Our glory days?
Yeah, man, Shock, remember when you ran San Francisco, and then remember when I was here too?
Just, you know what he loves? You know, I've had a lot of conversations with Shock. I've never seen him light up as much as talking to him about ASO ankle braces.
Oh, I've seen him light up talking about something else.
I have too.
When we brought up Hard Rock, he was excited.
There's a Hard Rock rider?
We got a casino down here?
I'll see y'all there.
I love
y'all. Pick me up.
I love. He had
Shock. I love Shock too.
He had a Kirby Shock, Smart interview.
We did not see Shock.
He had a one-on-one interview to prepare.
Yeah,
for
you know, not all of us are. You know, to be DJ Shockley.
Yeah, we ended up getting a one-on-one interview though.
We did.
Yeah. Hey, hope you enjoyed it tonight. Hope you hit that thumbs up button on your way out. We will be back tomorrow. Last show, best show. Also, should have a Shane Gillis interview at some point being released. Appreciate you for being here. See you on the way out. I love you. More importantly, Jesus loves you. We'll see you.